But first up, he is a man with a mission and he doesn't mind a challenge. De La Salle brother Mark McEwen speaks with Elizabeth Arblaster about his mission to show the unconditional love of God to disadvantaged children. A mission which has taken him all over the world, from Papua New Guinea to Northern Australia, California to Pakistan. Brother Mark shares some great stories and common sense for guys who are wondering whether the brother's life might be for them.
Today with the auxiliary visitor for the De La Salle brothers, Brother Mark McEwen. Welcome to the show, Brother Mark.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Now, what is an auxiliary visitor?
Well, the simplest way to explain that is basically the second in charge of the brothers in Australia, New Zealand, now Pakistan as well, and Papua New Guinea.
Okay. So you've just been in the Napa Valley in California. What were you doing over there?
I have. I was there for 5 days, and I got invited to go across there to speak with five young men who are in their novitiate year for the De La Salle brothers. And that's a special year where they spend more time really looking and discerning if this is a call for them. And the main reason for going there is one of our young men from Australia is doing his novitiate year over there, Lewis. So I went there to have time with him and actually just spend Christmas with him. And I was just amazed with these five guys ranging in ages from 25, Lewis was the youngest, the oldest was 44, all sort of committed to really sort of searching out if this life is for them. So it's a great experience, diversity of life experience for these five guys. One actually was a US Coast Guard officer. And so it's just great sitting down talking to him about his life journey before he joined the brothers. So it's a great experience, a beautiful part of the country too. Napa's famous for wine, so I was able to sample a few of the local wine products while I was there. So it was a great time. Not long enough though.
What was the journey into the brothers for you?
I grew up in Queensland, so I'm a proud Queenslander. I went to a De La Salle school just north of Brisbane. My recollections of school is the thing that stands out the most about the brothers is the way they related to us as students. And I guess I started thinking about the option of the brothers when I was in year 10 and then sort of let it sort of slide a bit and actually went to Teachers College. But during that time at Teachers College, the idea kept coming again, so I thought maybe I need to do something about it. So I searched out one of the brothers who I knew and he said, listen, keep thinking about it. And I decided that I'd go teaching first. So I actually taught up in North Queensland for a year at a school run by the Mercy Sisters and Christian Brothers. But again, the idea kept coming back, so well, I need to do something about this. So I got in contact with the brother who was looking after vocations at the time. He came up to interview me. I had my interview in the local pub where I spent a bit of time because I was playing a bit of rugby on the weekends. So it was the rugby culture of playing the footy match and then ending up at the pub was certainly a part of my life that year. Yeah. The brother at the time, Ambrose was his name, came up to interview me in the local pub to the join the brothers. Mm. And basically, I haven't looked back since then. It's been a great 30 years. Mm. Lots of challenges, but on the whole, it's been a real blessing for me during that time.
What are some of the things that you've done in that time, like just some highlights?
Probably some of the highlights would be I was lucky enough to have 3 years working in Papua New Guinea. And that came almost a year after I sort of finished my novitiate year training as a brother and made my first vows, and I actually volunteered to go up there. And at the time, they must not have had too many other volunteers because I was accepted. It was a challenge, I think, going up there. I guess I wanted to go up there because of the excitement, but sort of, and certainly it was an exciting time. But once you got up there, you really realise that you're in a different world, in another country. But I think my lasting memories of my time up there is the way the young people valued the fact that you'd come from another country to be there for them. And just the other day, just to jump to the present, I met up again with a young man that I taught up there who's since joined the brothers. So it's just great to catch up with him again to know after 35 years or 25 years that he still remembered me from that time and that he'd made the decision to be a brother. But I think the thing that got me through was just the kids that I taught. These kids, to get to school at the start of each term, some of them had to walk for a day, and they basically arrived with the clothes they had on. My last memory of this place is just the day I left, when I sort of realised that I stayed there for a year, then realised that I needed to come back to Oz, just to, you know, reground back here. And as I was hopping in the plane, and taking off down this incredible airstrip. You take off this airstrip, you go down the hill, and then you bank into a valley. If you don't, you end up 1,000 metres down on the bottom of the valley. But the kids had lined the airstrip to wave goodbye to me, so that was a fairly emotional time. But I think it was just the way the kids really value the fact that you're there for them. I think that, for me, that's really sort of encapsulated in that whole name brother, which has a strong significance for the De La Salle brothers, because when John Baptist De La Salle first brought a group of men together to respond to the needs of his time back in France, they actually chose that name. And the reason they chose the name brother was they wanted to be brothers to each other in community, but older brothers to the young people that they taught in schools. And for me, I think that sort of really sums up a key thing about being a brother. It's all about a relationship. And for me, that relationship, the key relationship, though, is that relationship you have with God in prayer, but then that overflows into the other relationships that you have. So it's been a... That time in PNG was really, really special. I guess another challenging time, I was lucky enough to have 3 years working at Boys Town up in Queensland. At the time, it was a residential care facility for boys from 11 to 16. And a key element of these boys is that they, over 90%, came from what we'd call dysfunctional families, either living with just their mother, just their father. And all of them had been sort of put there by a judge for either their own protection, because they'd already sort of started on a life of crime, or they're just chronic truants. Again, that was a special place because they're very tough kids. Mm. It sort of really sort of stretched your teaching skills there, because they weren't as amenable to education as most kids. But again, it was just... All they really wanted was they just wanted to know that you were interested in them, and that no matter what they did, and they really sort of challenged you in a lot of ways, that you'd always forgive them. And I think Boys Town, a lot of the listeners might know, is really founded on the Boys Town from the US. And it's a whole thing about sort of love the boy and hate the sin. Mm. Okay, I hate the crime. And I think that was one thing that everyone working there was that message that we try to get across, that you really have to love those boys. They're going to challenge you. They're going to abuse you. They're going to try you as much as possible. Mm. But I think always need to be prepared to accept them. You know, challenge their behaviour, but accept them. I think for me, that taught me a lot about sort of accepting people, understanding where people are coming from, and I guess trying to put yourself in their position and how you'd be if you had to go through that. Probably one sort of story that stands out for me most about what the brothers and the teachers are trying to do there happened one year when the boys used to go home at Christmas time. And we sent one boy home to North Queensland, and he arrived home. When he arrived home, he was dropped off, I think, by a taxi, and he found a note on the front door from his parents. "We've gone away from the holidays. Look after yourself." So this kid had sort of, you know, he was in one of my cottages that I looked after, and he was talking about going home to see his family. And he got home to see this. We got a phone call from the police that night saying, "We found this guy wandering the streets. What he wants to do?" We said, "Just put him on a plane, send him back." So he came back, and he had Christmas dinner with the brothers. But I think it was, and that situation wasn't uncommon. I think it's really taught me about really sort of being there for people in their times of need.
As you're speaking, I wish that the listeners could see you. You're so passionate about your vocation, and I was reading something before I met up with you, and it seems that the De La Salle brothers bred them tough. I was reading about these brothers who were going to put up their hands to go to southern Sudan. One of the brothers said, "There was no earth-shattering decision to leap into the dark, just fidelity to the vow I made when I joined the brothers, to go wherever I may be sent and to do whatever may be required of me." What's the story behind the order?
The order goes back over 330 years now to a man who was a Catholic priest in France. So it goes right back to 1680. And John Baptist de la Salle was a priest who was engaged in parish work in a limited way, and he almost by chance got involved in this whole work of meeting the needs, educational needs of young people in his hometown. So it was really quite by chance. When you read some of his writings, he basically said, I had no intention of committing myself full-time to this work, but bit by bit, this is where God led me. He saw a situation which needed someone to respond to it. And at that time, it was a situation where particularly young boys in his hometown of Reims in France were literally roaming the streets. Because at the time, if you wanted an education, you had to have the money to pay tutors. So he decided that, I'm going to do something about this, but I need to bring people in to help me. So he brought in a small group of men initially to start a couple of schools up in his hometown. Initially, they weren't a religious order, but they were moving that way, and they only made one vow, and that was a vow of association. And they vowed to associate together for the purpose of providing an education for these poor boys of his hometown. That developed. It wasn't really fast-growing like some of, say, the priest orders, but what was unique about it is really it was the first order of just lay religious. So really in the church were the first order of teaching brothers that started. When he died in 1719, the brothers were in 20 schools or 20 towns, and there were only 100 brothers. So it wasn't a great sort of development time. But since then, the brothers have developed, and that they're now in 83 countries throughout the world. And more recently, they've moved into the southern Sudan, as you've just identified. But I think the key thing about De La Salle was, and the thing about his spirituality that I like, was his a prayer which we pray in all our schools, let us remember we're in the holy presence of God. So he was someone who was really sort of in tune with the fact that each and every moment we're in God's presence. And one of his, I love going back over some of his writings, and one of my favourite parts is where he says that there's no place that's not honoured by God's presence. And to me, that's sort of, I just keep coming back to that. And for me, particularly when I work with teachers, I challenge them to think about when they go into that classroom, okay, that becomes the place of God's presence for them. But I think even more so, De La Salle challenged the teachers and the early brothers to see in each of their students the presence of God. And another prayer which we pray with our students is a simple prayer which we pray, live Jesus in their hearts, and the students respond forever. And so he's fairly strong on the fact that having a personal relationship with Jesus, he himself sort of spent a lot of time in prayer himself. But another key aspect of our La Salle spirituality is the reliance on the Holy Spirit. And a lot of his writings, an expression that comes through all the time, is frequently give yourself to the Holy Spirit and be guided by the Holy Spirit in all that you do. And he talks about the spirit of faith, to look on things with the eyes of God, to always keep God in view of in your decision-making. But also another aspect of our spirituality is the spirit of zeal. And for me, the best way to describe what that is, it's really having a passion. And even before, say, recent church doctrines, which would talk about having a passion for God and a passion for people, that's what De La Salle was on about in his time, having a passion for those poor young people of his time. I think he's tried to engender that down through the ages. So in all the places where we work throughout the world, that's a key driving force to really sort of meet the needs of young people, particularly those most in need.
You're listening to the wonderful adventures of Brother Mark McEwen on The Vocation Show. Next up, Brother Mark talks about the importance of prayer, how a call to the brothers might present itself to you, and about test running the brother's life.
In all vocations, there's always going to be joys and there's going to be tough times as well. What have you done over the years to help you remain passionate about your work and grow in your vocation and live it well?
I have to say, without a doubt, I would not be here today as a brother if I wasn't committed to having a daily prayer life. I just know that for a fact. And my day normally, and this has been developed over time, you grow into this as a brother, you don't sort of start off straight away sort of fully committed to a prayer life. But my normal day would start now with, I'm a caffeine addict, so I need my coffee. So I'm also a morning person. Now, I've discovered there's not too many morning people around, but I like the mornings. So, and I like the mornings because it's nice and quiet, even in the brother's house. So in my own community, I'll get up about 5, grab a cup of coffee, and normally try and have about 50 minutes just in quiet, reflective prayer time. And for me these days, that takes the form of, I like praying in my bedroom, even though we've got a chapel in the house. I prefer praying in my room, and I set up a little got a little prayer lamp, which I light as a reminder of God's presence. And I'm growing more and more convinced of the need for silence. So I normally would start my prayer time with just 20 minutes of silence. And I read recently sort of the whole expression about contemplation. To me, a key aspect of being a person who is contemplative is to be a person who has times of silence. And then after the time of silence, I'll normally sort of engage by just reading the daily scriptures and just what are they saying to me in my current situation. I was lucky enough to do a retreat during the year, and it really challenged me in this area about how you pray. And expression which the priest that led the retreat said, you have to pray honestly, and you can't fool God. And I guess I'm growing more and more aware of that, to really tell God as it is. You know, if you're not feeling too good, tell that to God. And you might think, well, God already knows that, but he also wants to hear from you. So I guess I've been challenged more and more to actually pray from where you're at, pray from your reality, pray for your emotions. And that's the best way to actually grow in your relationship with God. And again, I guess go back to some of the writings of De La Salle, and one of his other expressions is to learn from Jesus by frequently being in his company. And to me, I've been trying to have that as part of my daily life, not just in my prayer time. So in a sense, while I have an intentional time for my personal prayer, I think that sort of, it doesn't stop there. The challenge for me is to be a prayerful person, not just a person of prayer, but to actually let it flow into my life. So I often find myself trying to stop during the day, even if just for 5-10 seconds, to actually reconnect with the fact that I'm in God's presence. Is there anything needed to let me know, God, about how things are going? So I'd have to say, having that disciplined prayer life. And you might think discipline sounds funny, but I think you have to do it, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Well, we have discipline in other important areas life, don't we? In all important areas of our life. So you have a special program, don't you, for young men who are thinking of joining the Brothers? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the last couple of years we decided to develop a program where give people a chance to come in for a couple of weeks to see what the Brothers' life is all about. And the name we gave it was Test Drive the Brothers' Life. So the last 2 years we've run four programs, two to Papua New Guinea, one to Balgo Hills in Western Australia, and one recently to New Zealand. And essentially this program allows young men to do two things. One is to live in a brother's community for the 2 weeks, to join the brothers for prayer, the meals, so the community aspect and the prayer aspect of the brother's life, but also to engage in some type of ministry with the brothers. So, for example, two young men came with me to New Zealand late November last year to our school in South Auckland, which is in a very poor area, 95% Polynesian at the school. And these two young men worked alongside one of the brothers and the teachers who look after this particular school. That kids come from a situation where their families don't speak English at home, so the literacy and numeracy isn't too good. So they actually worked alongside, almost one by one, with kids, helping with reading, with their writing. So it's really giving them a sense of, well, this is what the brothers do, so they can get a test for that. Last year, five young men went up to Papua New Guinea with me, and again, that was a totally different experience, and we engaged in one of the schools there. Up there, the school wanted us to run a leadership program. So I worked with the young men that came with me, and we devised a leadership program for these students at the school. So basically, it's just 2 weeks, so it's two weeks out of your life, and then it gives them, in a sense, a feel for what the brother's life is all about. And subsequent to that, I keep in contact with those who want to via Facebook, and so there's no commitment after that. It's a case of, commitment is those 2 weeks. And the other thing with these young guys is the brothers provide the accommodation and the food and the opportunity but the young men that engaged the last 2 years have paid for their own airfares to get there. So it really shows a commitment of these young men. I've been blown away. Mm. Particularly last year, the four guys that came with me took time off work to do this. To me, there is interest out there, but it's about having the opportunity to actually to engage in the chance to see. So that's our key program, the Test Drive the Brothers Life program. Having said that, we also, if people get in contact with me, I've been able to arrange like a week living experience.
Sure. And for those who want to know more about that, what's your website?
Website's nice and easy to remember. It's delasoulbrothers.com, and they can go to that, and that way they can get in contact with me on through our website.
If you want the link to the website, you can go onto cradio.org.au and find the link there. Thanks so much for joining us today, Brother Mark.
It's good to be here, and think about it. As I said, the life of a brother is not for everyone, but I'm sure right this moment God is drawing some of you to be brothers. So don't discount it.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Vocations Show on cradio.org.au.